Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bab Basra daf Kuf Chav Hey. We left off on daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Amar Le Abaye Le Rabba, two lines from the end of the page on daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Today's show is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le Hashalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. What we're going to talk about in today's daf is we finished off yesterday with a machlokas about a Bechor getting Pishnayim in the collection of a loan that was owed his father. We had a machlokas. Does he only get Pishnayim if the collection is done with cash, or does he only get Pishnayim if the collection is done with Karka? There's the two opposing viewpoints. Either only when he's collecting in cash he gets Pishnayim, or only when they're collecting the loan with Karka he gets Pishnayim. So the Gemara is going to have two questions on each opinion, whether Bechor gets Pishnayim from a lova only in Ma'us or only in Karka, and the Gemara is going to have one answer that answers both questions on both opinions, which means all four questions in total are going to be answered by one line of Gemara, which, as you might have guessed, means that it's really difficult to understand what that line of Gemara really means and how that line of Gemara really answers four questions all in one fell swoop. So that's going to be all of Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara is going to get into a machlokas if someone who's a shchiv meira on his deathbed earmarks nechasim to his grandmother, and then he says, and after grandma gets it, I want it to go to my yoresh. Problem is, the yoresh predeceases grandma, and now the yoresh's husband wants to make a claim on that yerusha. Does the husband have the right to that yerusha? So we're going to have a machlokas about that and a discussion of the logic of each opinion. Then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to come to a final psak about yerusha of a baal and yerusha of a bechor in ra'uy, in that which is ra'uy and that which is not muchzuk, as well as the yerusha of a bechor in a milva, the yerusha of a bechor in a loan that is owed to the father. So let's begin. Again, we left off two lines from the end of the page. Amar le Abaye, probably kedai to go back to four lines before the end of the page, to the Amar Rabba, just to get us into what the conversation's about. So let's do that. To Amar Rabba, Rabba said that if Yisomim have a loan that is due to their father, so Gavu Karka Yeshlo, Gavu Ma'os Einlo. Rabba holds that if Yisomim are going to collect karka as payment of that chov, a bechor gets pishnayim of that karka, because the karka of the lova are meshubah to the malva, there's a shibud nechasim, and therefore it's as if the malva was already muchzak in it, it's as if dad already had this property, because this property was meshubah to him, and therefore the bechor is able to get pishnayim in it, it's muchzak. But if gavu ma'os ain lo, but if they're only collecting money, they're only collecting cash, they're not collecting land, then the bechor does not get pishnayim that money, because the money is only metaltalin, and metaltalin of a lova is not meshubat with the shibud nechasim to the malve, and therefore the father who was the malve is not considered to have been muchzak in these nechasim during his lifetime. And the Rashbam points out, and even if the lova pays back the very same dollar bills, the very same cash that was given to him as a loan, still that's not considered something that was muchzak b'yad ha-malva, because milva lo tzanitna. You're not supposed to hold on to the very same dollar bills when you're paying back a loan. You're supposed to invest it and use it in whatever reason you borrowed the money. You're supposed to use it for that reason. And then you give back different cash. So it's never supposed to be that you're giving back the very same bills. So even if he does give back the same bills, the same coins, the same whatever that he was given, that was not something that was muchzak by the father. So that's Rabba's opinion. That karka that they're collecting as payment of a loan is considered muchzak of the, to have been muchzak by the father, and therefore the bechor gets pishnayim, whereas money was not considered to have been muchzak by the father, and the bechor does not get pishnayim in money. For Rav Nachman Amar gavu ma'os yesh lo gavu karka ein lo, and Rav Nachman says just the opposite, that if a bechor is collecting, if the yesomer rather are collecting from a loan that was owed to their father, and they're collecting in cash, so then the bechor does get pishnayim, because the original halva'a was cash, and therefore when they're getting back cash, that's considered something the father was already muchzak in. But if they're collecting with karka, he does not get pishnayim, because that karka never belonged to their father, so that's not considered something that was muchzak by the father. So now the Gemara is going to ask two questions on each opinion, Rabba's opinion and Rav Nachman's opinion. So Amalei Abaye L'Rabba, so Abaye says to Rabba, L'didach, according to your Shita, that only if they collect karka, the Bukhar gets Pishnayim, Kasha, I have problems, and the Rav Nachman, and according to Rav Nachman's Shita, that only if they collect cash, the Bukhar gets Pishnayim, Kasha, I also have kashas. So here are my kashas. L'didach kasha, on your Shita, that only if they collect karka, the Bukhar gets Pishnayim, only karka is considered muhsak and not ra'ui. Well, maishna ma'us dela, why is it that you consider money to have not been muhsak by the father, that the Bukhar does not get Pishnayim? Why is it? Because the lav hani ma'us shava kavuon, the money that's being used to pay back is not the money that dad had left. That money, the father never saw that cash. He never saw that particular bill, that particular coin. He loaned this guy money, and the guy's paying him back with other cash. So that's why you say that the money was not considered muhsak. But by that same token, karkanami lav ha karka shava kavuon. Dad never saw this karka either. He never had possession of this karka either. The guy's using the karka to pay back a loan, but it was not this karka bedavka that the father had left for the collection of his chov. If the lover wanted, the lover could have never given him this karka. He could have sold this karka, gotten cash for it, and given that back as the loan. There was no shaychus between the father and this karka. So how can you consider this to be muhsak? The Rimi Gash points out, and even though by karka there is a shibud nechasim min haTorah, Abaye doesn't think that because of the shibud nechasim we should make a distinction between karka and ma'os as far as what's considered ra'i, what's considered muhsak. Because in the end of the day, the guy can always pay in cash. Even though there is a shibud nechasim on the karka, the lova always has a right to pay in cash. He always has a right to pay back a loan with money and not with karka. So when the Yisomim go and collect karka, it's as if they're buying this karka for the very first time right now, and that this karka was not something that was muhsak to the father. So that is kasha number one on your opinion, that for some reason karka is considered more of a muhsak. The same reason money was not considered muhsak, because dad never had this money, karka should not be considered muhsak because dad never had this karka. Va'od, and a second kasha Abaye has on Rabba. Ha'atu da'amrit is the gift. So we have in the Gemara, the Bach changes it to marhu da'amar, whatever it is, the point is the same, that you, Rabba, are the one that's going to say on Amud Beis, when we're going to quote the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, that nechasim that are ra'ui to come to a woman from a Yerusha, from her grandmother, from a grandmother, and then the woman predeceases the grandmother before she ever gets the Yerusha, that her husband is not able to be Yoresh her, because a husband cannot be Yoresh B'ra'oi. That the case is, we're going to see it's going to take up all of Amud Beis to discuss this case, but the case is, a person gives a matana, a person is a shchivmera, he's on his deathbed, he gives a matana, he's giving his nechasim to his grandmother, but then he says, Acharecha liyorshai, that after grandma dies, I wanted to go not to grandma's yorshim, I wanted to go to my own yorshim. So normally, if you give a matana to somebody, then that person will pass it on to their own yorshim. But he makes it tonight, as a shchivmera, I'm leaving my nechasim to grandma, and then I wanted to go to my own yorshim. And he had one daughter that was married, his own yoresh, his married daughter, and the daughter predeceased grandma. So grandma's great-granddaughter, right, predeceased the great-grandmother, and the daughter dies when the grandmother's still alive. So the Bnei Marava paskind that the yorshim of the grandmother yarshim the nechasim, and not the husband of this of the granddaughter, of the great granddaughter, of this daughter of the original deceased. And Rabba said that I paskin like that. That I think that that's correct. That the husband does not get it. So you are the one, ha'atu da'amrit, or maru da'amar. You're the one that's going to say on Amud Beis that mistabra taimud b'nei ma'rava. That you think the b'nei ma'rava, that the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael are correct in considering this to be ra'ui, and therefore not something that a husband has a right to. So the husband of the daughter of the original deceased, the great-granddaughter of the grandma, right? That the husband of that woman will not be Yorish, because it's only considered ra'ui. the kadam safta v'zavna zvina zvini. And the reason you consider it ra'oi is because the grandmother has the right to sell those nechasim, and therefore to make sure that it never is nofel b'yerusha at all. So that's why it's considered ra'oi. So over here also, the karka that the yisomim are collecting from the balichovos of their father should also be considered ra'oi, because the lova has the right to sell those karkaos and to therefore pay off in cash, pay off the loan in cash. So therefore, I have a second kasha on you. How is it that you consider that when they collect karka from the balichov of their father, that you consider that muchsak, and you say that the bechor gets pishnayim? You're the one that says that anything that the person has the right to sell is not karka, right, that is considered muchsak, and bechor gets pishnayim. But you're the one that says that, the Bnei Ma'arava, that since grandma has the right to sell something, it's considered to be ra'ui, and the karka that the Yisom collect from Bali Chovas of the father should also be only considered to be ra'ui, and should not be considered to be muksuk. Now, the Ritva and the Ran say the comparison seems a little bit off, because with the Maisa, with the grandmother could be mafkia the nechasim entirely from the Baal by selling them, and therefore but over here it's different. The lova can't be masalik the father legamri from the karka by selling it. Meaning, what does the lova have a right to do? I borrowed money from you, so you have a shiba nechasim on my karka. So the Gemara is saying, yeah, but I can prevent you from ever getting that karka by selling it and instead paying you back with money. Let's say I sell it and then I gamble away that money, or I lose that money. Then what? Then you're going to go and take that karka, meaning that's what shibud chasim means. You'll always have a right to that karka. I can never be mafkia you from that karka entirely. So it's a little bit of a faulty comparison, the Rishonim point out. The Ritva and the Ran both make this point, that when it comes to grandma, grandma can go and sell that karka, and the granddaughter would never have it. She could be mafkia legamri, with no rights, no claims, no nothing to be able to get it. A borrower is not able to do that. So the Ritva writes that since over here also the lova could be mafkia the karka by coming through with some other form of payment, so we're not mechalik between hafka gedola and hafka katana. That you're right, grandma has the right to be totally mafkia the karka from the yoresh, whereas over here you can only be mafkia the karka if you have something else with which to pay, but it's still a hafka'a in a certain sense. You can still be mafkia the karka. A little bit difficult. Kasha seems a lot better than the answer, right? The comparison seems a little bit off, but that's the kasha. That's the second kasha that Abaye asks on Rabba. Now Abaye says to Rabba that which he could ask on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that a bechor gets pishnayim dafka from a cash payment of a loan, but not from a karka payment of a loan. He says, I got two kashas on that too. The Rav Nachman kasha, on Rav Nachman I have a kasha, maishna karka dolo. Why is it that with a karka payment of a loan, a bechor does not get pishnayim delav hakarka shavakavuo? Because this karka was never owned by dad. This was never dad's karka. It was never in his possession, and therefore it's only ra'ui, it's not muchsak. Well, ma'os nami, lav hani ma'os shavakavuon. Well, you have the same thing with the money. If I'm collecting money as a payment of the loan that was owed to dad, this is not the money that that dad ever had. So why would the bechor get pishnayim? It should also only be considered ra'ui. Ve'od, and I'll ask another kasha on Rav Nachman, Ha'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Rav Nachman himself says, in the name of Rabba Baravua, Yisomim Shagavu, Karka, B'chovas Avien. If Yisomim collect, after their father dies, they collect Karka from a Lova that owed money to their father in payment of a Chov that was owed to their father. And there was another Chov that their father owed to somebody else, Bal Chov, Chozer V'Gov Mehen, the Bal Chov that the father owed money to, could go and collect that karka that they just collected in payment of a loan that was owed to their father. Meaning, dad was a businessman. He had outstanding loans in both directions. He had borrowed money from people. He had lent money to people. So someone that he had loaned money to, the Yisomim go and they collect that karka, but then someone he had borrowed money from comes and takes that karka away from them. So you see that karka that was meshubah to their father must have been considered muchsuk in the hands of the father, even before he collected it as for payment of his chov. Otherwise, his own Balchov wouldn't have been allowed to collect it from the Yisomim, because we have a halacha that a Balchov is not allowed to collect from Minarotwi. A Balchov is only allowed to collect from the Yisomim that which was Matzwi Biyad Halove, not that which is only Rotwi. So since Rav Nachman, you yourself are going to have to say that Karka is considered Matzwi, that it's not only considered Rotwi, how can you say Legabi Yerusha the Bukhar doesn't get Pishnayim of the Karka? You yourself, Taina, that it's considered that it's considered Matzwi, it's not considered Rotwi. The Mishnah Maseches Bechoros and Dafman Beis Amaral, Rashbam points out, says that a woman is not Kovel her Ksuba from Rotwi, and therefore, says Rashbam, since it's a Beferish Mishnah, that a woman cannot collect her Ksuba from that which is Rotwi, it's Mistaver that the same is true for every Balchov. I mean, Ksuba Sish is just an example of a Balchov. It's a monetary document that it's a Chov that a husband has toward his wife, so it's like any other type of balchov. So luchora, if a subasisha cannot collect from ratwi, any other balchov can also not collect from ratwi. So if the karka were not to be considered muchsak, then the karka that the yisom get after their father dies, it would be possible that the balchov would not be able to be gove it. So the fact that the balchov can be gove that karka is an indication that that karka is considered to be muchsak and is not only considered to be Rotwi. The Rashbam then adds that you can't say that the Balchov collects the actual shtar that the father has on somebody else, and that's why he's considered to be Zoch, and that's why he's able to get the karka that he's owed through that shtar. Maybe you'll say, you're right, a Balchov is not able to collect something that's only Rotwi to the father, and the karka itself that's owed to the father, that's only Rotwi. But you know what the father did have in hand? He had a shtar that said that someone owes him money. So maybe the Balchov can go grab that shtar, and now that he has a shtar, that was actually muchsak beyond the father. And now maybe that's why the Balchov can go get that karka. So the Rashbam says, no, it's not a valid argument, because the shtar is only metaltalin. And metaltalin, the asmi, are not meshubah to a Balchov. A Balchov cannot go over to the Yisomim and say, you owe us that shtar. No, shtar is only metaltalin. They're never going to have to give him the shtar. They can say, you owe us that karka, but only if it was karka that was muchsak beyond aviyah, that the father actually was muchsak in that karka. So by virtue of the fact that we're saying that the Balchov can take that karka, you are saying that it was muchsak. And if it was muchsak, then the Bukhar should be able to get Pishnayim, and that is Rabbah's second kasha on Rav Nachman. Now the Rashbam's assumption that a Balchov cannot collect from that which is Rotwi is not agreed upon by all the Rishonim, because what was his basis? That there's a Mishnah in Bukharos that a Ksubas Isha cannot collect from Rotwi, and the Rashbam then made that leap that Hu Adin, every Balchov. A lot of the other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah and others, say no, Ksubas Isha, and only say Ksubas Isha. Maybe Balchov can collect from Rotwi. Then they have to reinterpret our entire Gemara and come up with a new interpretation of what exactly the Kasha is over here. Okay, so we'll stick with the Rashbam for now. So these are the four kashas. So again, we had a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Nachman whether when collecting a chov that was owed to the father, the Bukhar gets Pishnayim only from a karka collection. That was Rabbah's opinion, but not from a money collection. Or Rav Nachman's opinion, only from a money collection, not from a karka collection. Abaye had two kashas on Rabbah, one on just a misvara, why would you be mechalek between money and karka, and another from his own words, that you, Rabbah, you yourself said differently in the story with the grandma. And he had two kashas on Rav Nachman. Again, one of the kashas on Rav Nachman was just misvara, why would you be mechalek between karka and money? Dad had neither one of those things in his actual physical possession. So why would you be mechalek between them? And the second one, from your own words, that you yourself say that that a balchov is able to collect from this karka. So you see that the karka is considered to be muksak, it's not considered to be rawi. So the pattern is a very clear pattern to follow. The details are where it gets tricky, but the pattern is a very easy pattern to follow. Two opinions, two kashas in each opinion. First kasha in each opinion is just like a svara, why would you be mechalik between karka and money? It's the same kasha in both opinions. Why would you be mechalik? And then the second kasha in each opinion is, you said something that contradicts what you're saying now, right? Is to chapam on l'shitasam, that you're saying something that contradicts what you're saying now. So here's the tricky part. Now the Gemara gives one answer that answers all the kashas. So Amrle, so Rabbi said back to Abaye, lo le didi kasha v'lo le Rav Nachman kasha. I would like to defend myself and my bar plukta. It's not a kasha on me, nor is it a kasha on Rav Rav Nachman. The fact that we distinguish between karka and ma'os in whichever direction, I distinguish one direction, Rav Nachman distinguishes in the other direction between karka and ma'os, taima de b'nei ma'arava ka'amrinan. We are only explaining the sheet of the b'nei ma'arava from yesterday's daf that a b'chor gets pishnayim in a milva. V'lon lo sfirulan. We happen to not hold that way at all. We hold like the sheet of Shmuel that a b'chor does not get pishnayim of a milva at all, whether it's karka or ma'os. So you're asking on us, how can we be mechalik between karka and ma'os? We're not. We think a b'chor gets pishnayim in none of it. That whenever a Bukhar is getting a payment of a loan, he does not of his father's loan, a loan that was owed his father, whenever the Yisomim are getting payment of the loan that was owed their father, they get Pishnaim in, the Bukhar gets Pishnaim in none of that. That's all Ra'ui, that is all not Muchsak. So don't start attacking us that we're against our own Shita. Our Shita is not what we just expressed to you. Our personal Shita is that he gets Pishnaim in none of it. And don't start attacking, how can we be Mechalik? We're not Mechalik. We're just saying Pshat in the B'nai Marava that they are Mechalik. So this answers, the way the Rashbam now spells it out, it answers all four kashas. That which Abayi asked on Rabbah, that what's the difference between Gova Karka and Gova Ma'os, is not a kasha, because I hold that there's no chiluk between Gova Karka and Gova Ma'os. Why did the B'nai Marava make such a chiluk? They said a Bechor gets Pishnayim in a milva, because the B'nai Marava say that a Bechor gets Pishnayim in a milva, in a collection of a loan, so they need to make this chiluk, because it's not mistaber that they're going to pasken like Rebbe and not like the Chachamim. So it must be there's a difference between Gova Ma'os and Gova Karka. And the Chachamim speak in one case, and the B'nai Marav were speaking in another case. So it's mistaber to Rabbah that Dafka, when it's Gova Karka, they would hold the Bechor Ges Pishnaim, because Karka is Meshubba to the father, and therefore it's more considered Matzoi Yetzlo, and it's less considered to be only Ratway, as opposed to Ma'os, where there's no Shibur on any particular money, and therefore that would only be Ratway. That which you asked that you asked on me says Rabbah that it's a stira from my own statement that I said Begova Karka Yeshlo from the story of the grandma that any money that you're able to be mafkia from the Morish is not considered muksak, it's only considered to be Ratway. No, over there the Nechasim of the Zekena were not Meshuba to the Bas, nor were they Meshuba to her husband, because she never borrowed from them, and therefore, since she had the grandmother had the right to sell them and to be mafkia, the Yerusha Sabas, it's only considered ratwi by the daughter, as opposed to karka that the lova has that's meshuba to the father. The lova is not able to be mafkia that shibud by selling it to someone else. The svara we said before, the lova could sell it to someone else, but the shibud's still going to be there. And if he can't come up with any other way to pay, dad is still going to be able to collect from that karka. And that which you asked on Rav Nachman, that why should there be a distinction between karka and ma'os? Again, Rav Nachman is not mechalik between karka and ma'os. He holds a b'chor cannot get pishnayim on any loan, according to the Chachamim. Because that's the kal v'chomer that we had said in yesterday's daf, that hashta shivcha di'isei b'rishusei amar rabbanan lo shakil shivcha mibayi. But the sheet of the B'nai Marava, you have to, Rav Nachman had to make a chilek between Karka and Ma'os within the sheet of the B'nai Marava, because the B'nai Marava paskin with the Maisa of the Safta that the Baal is not Yoresh his wife, because if the Safta were to sell the Mechasim, the Mechira would be Kayim and the daughter would not be able to be Yoresh it. So therefore, it's only considered to be Ratwi. So for that very same reason, the Karka that Yorshim collect for their father's Chov, we should also only considered to be Ratwi. So how could they say the B'nai Marav said that B'chor notel pishnayim b'milva? It must be that that's talking about where it's money and where it's not, and where it's not karka. And they make such a distinction between money and karka. And also, you can't ask a stira within the sheet of Rav Nachman by a b'chor that when they go with karka, he doesn't get pishnayim because he paskin that Yisom should go with karka b'chovas aviyam, that the b'chov could be gover from them, because the karka is not considered matzui. It's, but we already explained that the reason that the b'chov is able to be gover from them is not because of regular shibur, it's because of Shibud Rav Nassan. The Gemara has such a concept in Misachas Psachim that Rav Nassan says, Minayin Lenosha Bechaver Mana Bechaver Bechaver Shemasin Mizeb Nosan Lazet, Tamalam Nosan Lashara Shamlo. That if A owes B money and B owes C money, so we consider it as if A owes C, right? So the A owes C. Not AOS. So the connection, it's as if the guy that owed dad money owed the person that dad owed money to. So it's not that it had to have been something that was matzah biyado. It's a direct link between the two parties, and that the middleman is just cut out of the equation. So that's why there's a shibud over there, even though it's only considered a rotwe, because the balchov considered the isomim, just like it was the lova of your father was meshuba to your father, so it's meshuba to me also.
If a specific karka was meshubit to this clay, would it be considered mosak?
Would it be considered mosak?
If it was this,
I think it was meaning you have like an apatiki and the, yeah. So maybe apatiki would be different. I'm not sure. I was thinking about that. I don't know. So. Okay, so that's how all the questions are answered with one line. Problem is, as we explained, I just set out the Rashbam right now to answer all those questions. There's a lot that I just said that did not appear in the Gemara, right? All the Gemara said was Lo di kasha lo Rav Nachman kasha taibet the Bnei Marava kamin v'lon lo sfirulon. That we were just explaining the sheet of the Bnei Marava. We don't say that way. No mention of shibud the Rav Nassan. There was a lot over here that just didn't get mentioned in the Gemara. So Tosus is bothered by that. Tosus says the Rashbam made up a whole Gemara. He made up a whole answer that doesn't appear in the Gemara. So Tosus says no. Tosus is a whole different mahalich in the Gemara because he says he's reading too much into the Gemara. But okay, for a different time, maybe to go through Tosus' understanding. Okay, so now a new discussion, or not really brand new discussion, but now let's we kept on talking about the story of the Safta. Let's actually tell the story of the Safta. What exactly is the case of the Safta? My Safta. What was this Maisa with the Safta? There was a Shchiv Mira, right? That's Rabbeinu Gershom understands that. Who must be a Shchiv Mira? Because it's Amar Lehu. Divrei Shchiv Mira K'ksuv N'K'msuv N'Dami. So if he's going to transfer anything with Amira alone, he must be a Shchiv Mira. Otherwise, he would have to do some form, active form of Kinyan. There was a Shchiv Mira who said to the people around him, N'chasei L'Safta, I want all my properties, all my possessions to go to grandma. You know, my father's mother, my mother's mother, whoever, however it was his grandmother. Ubasra liartai, and after she dies, I wanted to go to my yarshim, not her yarshim, but my yarshim. Savile barta daven siva. This guy had a married daughter, shchiva bechaye baila. Tragically, that daughter died while her husband was still alive. Ubechaye safta, and while the grandma was still alive, meaning her great grandmother was still alive, and she died. After grandma died, Asabal Katava, the husband of the great granddaughter, came and was Tavea, said that that the explicit instructions of my father in law were that these Nechasim go to you so long as go to grandma so long as she's alive, and as soon as grandma dies, they go to my father in law's Yorish. My father in law's Yorish was my late wife. And therefore, I'm Yorish, my late wife. So I would like these nechasim. So there's a machlokas amoraim. Had a paskin. So I'm Rav Huna liyarti vafilu liyarti yarti. That when the guy says I wanted to go to my yorshim, he means I'm giving it to my yorshim, and even if at the end of the day it goes to the yorshim of my yorshim that were around at the time that grandma dies. So that would include the husband of the daughter, and therefore the Baal is correct. He could be gove those nechasim. Rav Anan says no liyarti velo liyarti yartai. I'm giving it to my own yarshim that are my own direct yarshim that are still alive when grandma dies. That's who I intended to go to, but not to the yarshim of my yarshim that are not really directly connected to me. They're only connected to my yarshim. So since when grandma died, the daughter was no longer alive, so he didn't have any yarshim at the time that grandma died. He only had yarshim, and therefore the nechasim never leaves grandma's rishos. The nechasim would go to grandma's yarshim. So if grandma happens to have other children or other descendants, that's who's going to get it, and not the husband. So that's the machlokas. So the Gemara quotes a hachra'a of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael about this case. So Sholch Mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Hilchus Hakavasi Ravanan Velav Mitameh. Look, we do paskin like Ravanan. Ravanan is correct that it does not go to the husband, that grandma's Yorshim get it, not the husband, but not for the reason that Ravanan said. Ravanan said the reason is because when he said the Artai, that I wanted to go to my Yorshim after grandma, I mean, and not my Yorshim's Yorshim. That's not why we paskin that it doesn't go to the husband. Hilchsa kavasei to Ravanan. Yes, we paskin like Ravanan, debalo yoris, that the husband is not yorish to the nechasim, but v'lav mitamei, not because the word yorshai does not include yorsha yorshav. Dil Ravanan savar afal gavda havalei bra libarte lo yoris. Ravanan would hold that even if the man's daughter had a son, even the son wouldn't yarshin, meaning none of the daughter's yarshim would get it directly when grandma dies, according to Rav Anan Svara. Because Rav Anan says, only my direct yarshim should get it after grandma dies. If I don't have any direct yarshim that are alive when grandma dies, then it goes back to grandma. That I disagree with, say, the Amoraim Erzol, the Lohi. That's not true. Dilu Avalei Bra, if there was a Libarte, if his daughter had an actual son, Vade Yaris, for sure, the grandson of the original deceased, the great-great-grandson of grandma, right, for sure, would be the one to get that Yerusha. But there is no son. And the whole question is about her husband, an outsider, coming into the family. The husband, Ubal Hainu Taima Delo Yaris. The reason the Baal is not Yorish, or if the girl had died in the lifetime of the grandmother, is Mishum Davale Ratwi, because that money is only considered Ratwi to the daughter, because she was never Muchsuk in that money during her lifetime. And there happens to be a rule in Yerushas Habal that does not apply to the rule to other Yorishim, Veinabal, not to Baroi Kibim Muchsuk, that a Baal does not get Yerusha in that which is only Ratwi to his wife, only that which was Muchsuk to his wife. So the reason the husband is not entitled to it is not because of some teaching of the word Yarshai means not Yarshai, Yarshai. No, it absolutely would go to Yarshai, Yarshai if there were other Yarshim, but not a Baal, because a Baal only gets that which was Muchsuk and not that which was Ratwi. And as far as his wife was concerned, this was only Ratwi, it was not Muchsuk. So the Gemara asks, if it's only Ratwi, Mechal Drav Huna, but wait, Rav Huna had disagreed with Rav Anan, meaning this is the Bnei Eretz Yisrael saying, we paskin like Rav Anan, but lav mitamei. But Rav Huna paskin not like that at all. Rav Huna paskin that the husband's right, that the husband gets to keep this Yerusha. Well, wait a second. Even if you're going to disagree with Rav Anan and you're going to say Yerushai means Yerushai, Yerushai, fine, but are you going to disagree with what the Bnei Ma'arav are saying also? The Bnei Ma'arav are saying that a Baal is not entitled to Ra'ui. So you, Rav Huna, say that a Baal is entitled to Ra'ui. Mechal, Rav Huna, Savra Baal, Notel Baroik B'Muchsak. But that's not true. No one holds that a Baal is an Otel Baroik B'Muchsak. So Reb Lazar, Dabrza Niftach B'Gedolim. So Reb Lazar says, you know, this conversation started with Rav Huna, who taught us this din, V'Nistayim B'Katan. So let me, we'll conclude with a Katan, with me, myself, says Rabbi Lazar, meaning I'm going to explain the Shita of Rav Huna, even though Rav Huna is an Adam Gadol, he's the one that started the conversation, I'll finish the conversation. Because really, the Nechasim, the reason Rav Huna thinks that the Baal has a right to them is because he does not view these Nechasim as Ratwi. He thinks that these Nechasim are called Muchsak. And even when the grandma was alive, it's considered to be Muchsak by the granddaughter. Because Kala Omer Acharecha, Ka Omer Me'achshav Dami. When the Shchiv Mira was originally dying, and he said, I want these Nechasim to go to grandma, and after grandma to go to my Yoresh, that's as if he's saying, right now I want them to belong to my Yoresh. When you say Nechasim Leploni V'achrei Mosi should be to somebody else, already right now, with the Gufa Nechasim belong to that second person, not to the grandma. You're only giving grandma a Kinyan Peros. What you're essentially saying is, grandma's not the final address for this property. I have an idea of who the final address for this property is, and it's my daughter. grandma is going to be allowed to use the peiros so long as she's still alive, whatever year she has left on this earth. So it's so therefore Rav Huna holds that nechasei l'savta v'achre l'biti, even though the bas dies b'chayei ha'savta, she, that bas, can be morish to her husband because she had an actual kinyan aguf on those nechasim. It's not only ro'i, she actually was the rightful owner of those nechasim. Amar Rabba, mistabra time with the b'nei marava. Rabba says, I think what the b'nei marava makes the most sense, that so long as the grandmother was alive, the daughter was never muksik in it, it's only considered ro'i, and therefore the husband should not yarshin it. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it's not considered that the daughter was ever muksik in it. Dikadim saftav zabnas vina zvini. Right? This was the reference, we made reference to the statement of Rabba on Amar Aleph. Here's where Rabba actually says it. You know why it's not considered to have ever belonged to the daughter? Because if grandma would have wanted to sell it, the sale would have been binding and the daughter never would have gotten it. Meaning, you're making an argument, you, Rabbi Lazar, are making an argument that the daughter was really the owner of it the whole time. Grandma only had a kinyan peiros. Well, if grandma really only had a kinyan peiros, she would not be allowed to sell it. She would only be allowed to sell peiros. She would not be allowed to sell the guf hakarka. But the fact is, grandma can sell the guf hakarka, and had she sold the guf hakarka, it never would have gone down to the granddaughter. So therefore, it's only considered ratui as far as the granddaughter is concerned. It's not considered to be muhsak as far as the granddaughter is concerned. And therefore, says Rabba, I think that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are correct. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's be machriya the halacha. When it comes to Yerushas Habal, when it comes to Yerushas Bechar, can they get beroi? Can they only get b'muchsak? Some Rav Papa, hilchsa ein abal notel beroi ke b'muchsak. We paskin clearly, a husband cannot yoresh his wife on that which is only ratui. He's only yashin's his wife on that which was that which she was muchzekes in prior to her death. Not stuff that was ratui to come to her and that she never saw during her lifetime. So let's say the wife predeceases her own father, and then after her father dies, she's yoreshim bekever. The husband doesn't get that yerusha. That goes to other relatives. The husband would not get that yerusha because that would only be considered ratui. It would not be considered muksak. And also, ve'in abachor notel b'ra'i k'b'muksak. A bachor does not get pishnayim in that which was only ratui for the father, the same way he would in that which was muksak. Let's say the nechasim improve in value after the father dies. So there's some shevach on those nechasim. You know, it was a piece of property and now they built it up. So the bachor does not get pishnayim of that build up because the father was never muksak in that build up. And not only that, a bechor does not get pishnayim of a loan that was owed to the father. Here's the key. We started the daf by saying that there were two opinions. Is it that the Bechor gets Pishnaim only if they're collecting karka or only if they're collecting ma'os? And then we attacked both opinions with two kashas and we said, no, the defense of all of it is we don't hold like any of those chilukim. The Bechor gets Pishnaim in none of it. So Gemara says that's how we pass. The Bechor gets Pishnaim in none of it. Any loan that's owed to the father, that the father never saw the money in his lifetime, the Bechor does not get Pishnaim of that loan when it comes into the Yisom. Umilva she'imo palgi, and a chov a halva'a that, let's say, was loaned to the Bechor himself. Let's say the father loaned money to his own Bechor son, so the Bechor and the Pashut split the chelik ha-Bechorah of that milva. Why? Because even though a chov that the father has on other people, meaning the money that's owed to the father by other people, is only considered ra'ui, and a Bechor does not get pishnayim of that, but a chov that he has on his own ben ha-Bechor, we're not sure whether that's considered ra'ui or muksak. Meaning his own ben ha-Bechor owed him money, so that were masupak. Is that considered ra'ui or is that considered muksak? Because it could be that the Bechor wants to be meshabed his nechasim to his father legamri ba'ayin yafa in the most generous way, so that it will be considered muksak. Meaning, if the Bechor is the one that borrowed from his father, it's in his best interest that this is as much dad's as possible. Meaning, why? Because eventually dad's going to die, and I'll get double of whatever is really dad's. If it's only roi to him, I'm not going to get double. So we're not sure if his desire to want it to be muksak piyad aviv is enough to make it actually be considered muksak. And since we're not sure, that chelik ha-bechora is going to be a suffix whether he gets pishnayim of that, and therefore we're going to split it. It is worth pointing out, this whole idea that a bechor does not get pishnayim b'roi ke b'muksak, you know, people think that we have a real problem. It's very hard nowadays. You have to, it is proper to make a halachic will and make sure that if if you want to do things properly, to make sure that you're not in violation of any of the Dine Yerusha, and yet still be able to distribute your nechasim equally to your children or whatever. So, but it's not as big a problem as people think. I mean, people assume the Bukhar is going to get Pishnaim, it's going to cause World War III in the family, whatever. As long as money's in a bank, many, many poskim say, that's all Ra'wi, that's not Muchsak. Meaning, whatever's in the bank, I gave the money to the bank. The bank is using that money in the by a milva, it's all Ra'wi. The Bukhar doesn't get Pishnaim. We pass in the end of this Gemara, Bukhar doesn't get Pishnaim in the milva. When I give money to a bank, it's a milva, according to most poskim. So that a Bukhar shouldn't really get Pishnaim. Still, Yisrael Halachic will, and still, you should take care of. There are a lot of other reasons to do so, but just a ha'ara that when it comes to a bank, probably that's considered a milva, and the Bukhar wouldn't get Pishnaim in that anyway. Okay, have a great day, everybody.